And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And I hope you're making the most of this situation and not allowing yourself to become depressed or anxious or worried or in a state of absolute panic or anything like that. Just stay calm. Just let the peace of God enrapture you and abide in you and lead you and guide you. And this is a difficult situation that we are in. There's no question about that. And I think every American feels the pressure. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't feel the pressure. But our God specializes in difficult situations. And so we ought to be encouraged no matter what comes our way. You know, there's an old song. Every now and then those old songs come back to me. You know, we don't sing them much in churches these days. We sing the modern praise music. But you all remember that old song, "Be Not Dismayed, Whate'er Betide, God Will Take Care of You. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you." And folks, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, mind, soul and strength. And I know you do too. So be encouraged. Now, look, a lot has happened since we were together last time, yesterday. And I'll tell you something, folks. While I am not worried and I'm not fretting, I am going to stand up for the principles that I believe in. You know, Ronald Reagan said, "Freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. We do not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected and passed on to them to do the same, or we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children about the United States of America, where we were once free." Now, we don't want to pass that legacy on to our children. I got an email from somebody, I think it was just yesterday, as a matter of fact, criticizing me, saying, "You shouldn't be bringing up these issues. We have a national emergency and we've got to all focus on that. And that's all we can focus on." Folks, that attitude to me is exactly how freedom is lost. It is when we say, you know what? Freedom doesn't matter right now because we have other things to be concerned about. Freedom always matters, folks. It always matters. And look, you all have heard me say this, so I don't want anybody to mistake my meaning. What we're facing is a serious situation. I think we've overreacted, and I think we're getting it a little bit out of perspective. But nevertheless, that doesn't mean it's not a problem. It doesn't mean it's not a major problem. I believe it is. But the question really is, what's the appropriate response to it? Now, since we talked yesterday, the governor of Virginia has completely shut down the state of Virginia, in effect placed people under house arrest. And guess what? It's until June the 10th. June the 10th, folks. Yeah, for the next 10 weeks. Now, the president extended his guidelines until April 30th. The governor of Virginia has gone through April, May, and then well into June. And the question that we all have, and of course he's saying that people don't need to be outside, but you can get out and get fresh air if you have to. Aren't we all so thankful that our beneficent master allows us to get out and get fresh air? What is this? But the question that I am going to raise again and again and again is, what is your constitutional authority for doing so? I mean, after all, we are a constitutional republic, and we believe that there are rights that are inherent in us as human beings. The First Amendment is among those rights, that we have freedom of conscience, we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of movement, and now you're telling me the governor of Maryland said that if you're caught out on the street, The police are going to find out where you're going and why you're going there and arrest you if you're not in basically in keeping with his quote-unquote order. See, folks, this is the thing that I would argue. I don't believe that any governor or any mayor has a right to order any civilian to do anything. If you don't work for the government, if you don't work for that mayor, if you don't work for that governor, they don't have the right to order you to do anything. Now, what they can do is they can go to the legislature, they can go to the city council, they can pass laws, they can pass ordinances, and then the people can challenge those ordinances if they think they're unconstitutional, challenge them in court, that sort of thing. But you don't just get to stand up by edict and declare, I declare that from now on you will not leave your home. I mean, who made you God? When did you become the dictator? Now, if you want to make the argument that this is something that needs to be done, and I believe I have the constitutional authority to do this, and here's why, but we're not hearing that. We're not hearing constitutional principles cited. We're not even hearing statutory principles cited or even state constitutional principles cited. We're just hearing by fiat, I declare. Well, you just don't get to declare. Not in a free country. Now, Xi Jinping can because he is a communist dictator. And he can declare whatever he wants and nobody's going to say anything because if you do, you might get taken out back and shot or disappear or be put in a labor camp. But we're not communist China. A friend of mine, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, was arrested on Monday morning for having services on Sunday. He was arrested. The police actually came to his house and placed him under arrest. And they didn't even bother to see what he had done. They were practicing social distancing in the church. He put a $100,000 air filtration system in that was intended, that he was assured, kills all microbes, all viruses. In other words, any microscopic thing that is in the air there cannot live in the atmosphere that this new system that he just put in to protect his people does, that what it accomplishes. They didn't check any of that. They just found out he had a worship service and went and arrested him and then had a press conference to say, and this is what's going to happen to anybody who dares defy us. And as you all probably heard, Mayor de Blasio has said that not only is he going to close any church that tries to meet, he says he's going to close them permanently so that they will never be allowed to meet again. I'm not exaggerating, folks. You check it out. He actually says he's going to close churches and synagogues permanently so that they cannot meet again. I'm thinking, what? And you all know, who is one of de Blasio's heroes? Fidel Castro. What did Fidel Castro do when he took power? Closed up churches and synagogues, arrested pastors and priests and rabbis, put them in jail, or had them executed. And the only hope they had for any freedom was to escape. Because he declared Cuba officially an atheist state, churches are no longer welcome, pastors may no longer operate. And I guess de Blasio wants to honor his mentor. And he probably had great glee in saying, I'm going to close them down permanently if they dare defy my order. Folks, three pro-life activists were arrested in Greensboro, North Carolina, because the abortion clinic was open. They practiced social distancing. They stayed apart, but they prayed outside the abortion clinic. They were arrested. They were arrested. Now, the abortion clinic's open, and those people aren't being arrested. They can stay in there and keep killing babies. That's okay. But you're praying outside the abortion clinic? How dare you? Something's wrong, folks. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Over the next few weeks, we will see many pundits and politicians blaming the president and his administration for the virus crisis. But before we start assigning any blame in the U.S., we need to go back to the country of origin. China and the World Health Organization should be held accountable for this pandemic. When the first Chinese citizens became sick, doctors tried to connect the dots of these cases and found they went back to the Hunan market. One of the first doctors to alert Chinese authorities was criticized for spreading rumors. Another had to write a self-criticism letter. Other medical personnel simply vanished. Even after the Chinese president ordered officials to control the outbreak, authorities kept denying that it could be spread between humans. That is why they even went ahead with the Chinese Lunar New Year celebrations that spread the virus even further. By the time China implemented the largest quarantine in history, the damage had been done. The cities of Wuhan and others in the province were overwhelmed. The director of the World Health Organization is probably someone you have never heard of. His name is Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. Two authors in an article in The Hill accuse him of turning a blind eye to what was happening in China and helping downplay its severity. Even worse, while he was praising China for its transparency, medical personnel who tried to tell the truth were being detained or simply disappeared. And if you assumed that the director of the World Health Organization would have to be a doctor, you would be wrong. He is not only not trained as a medical doctor, but has no global health management experience. The leaders of China and the World Health Organization deserve blame for this pandemic and should be held accountable. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
In August of 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit our country. A ministry was born called 8 Days of Hope. You know, the number 8 in the Bible means new beginnings. And for the last 14 years, about 40,000 volunteers from every state in the country, different denominations, have come together to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And now we'd like you to join our family, the 8 Days of Hope family. Already in 2019, we've been to Arkansas, Alabama, Nebraska, Texas, and even New York. For more information about the ministry, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, click Get Involved, submit your email address, and anytime we go anywhere, in a minute's notice, we'll send you an email, and hopefully you can join us. Above all, continue to pray for this ministry, 8 Days of Hope. It's the prayer of Jabez. God continues to enlarge in His territory for us to love and serve these precious families. Again, for more information about the ministry, go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Brian Fisher here. The Bible says there's a right kind of pride and a wrong kind. What was the constitutional basis for the ginormous stimulus bill? We've got the daily Joe Biden word salad. New York's mayor wants to turn his city into communist China when it comes to religious freedom. And D.C.'s mayor wants to lock people up for 90 days for leaving home. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, some of us have been on the front line, in keeping with Ronald Reagan's famous comment, have been on the front line of saying that our country has within it a seed of Marxism, socialism, communism that threatens the entire society, the body politic, our constitution, our freedom. And my guest today is one of the people who's been on that front line. He is a film producer. He's produced two films, Agenda and Agenda 2. Both talking about the rise of socialism, communism, Marxism in our country. And I've been wanting to have him on for a while, but he's had a very busy schedule, and we finally get him now. But it couldn't happen, shall we say, at a more appropriate time, because we are in the midst of a crisis that I think is opening up the door to a lot of socialist and communist and Marxist impulses to be revealed and for people to exercise power and authority that they would never have been able to exercise under any circumstances, or at least not without raising a major question. But now there's more of a willingness to sort of accept the what I would consider to be the unconstitutional exercise of authority without criticism, because after all, we're all facing a crisis. So my guest is Curtis Bowers. Curtis, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks for taking time. I've been looking forward to this moment. Glad to have you on. Curtis, you there? Okay, I guess. Okay, all right. Well, folks, hello. In the meantime, Curtis?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now, yes.
Okay. All right.
All right, well, listen, great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I don't know whether you did you hear my introductory remarks?
Yes, I heard the introductory. Somehow you couldn't hear me, but yes.
Okay. Well. Listen. With that, how Curtis, I want to talk about your films, obviously. Before we get to that, tell me, how are you reading some of the stuff that's happening right now? I was talking about a pastor being arrested in Florida and abortion pro-life, that is pro-life activists being arrested outside of an abortion clinic and Mayor de Blasio threatening to close churches and synagogues permanently if they dare have any kind of meetings. Are we seeing, you know, Rahm Emanuel's principle of not letting a good crisis go to waste unfold in front of our eyes here?
Yes, we are. They're masters of not wasting anything. And so one of the groups, the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, they also kind of have that same theme that Rahm Emanuel talked about when they said, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. And they're going to, no matter what the issue is, a virus, a movement, anything, they're going to use it in a revolutionary way to grind America down. And that's what we have to understand, that when people are suffering, they're always using people's suffering to gain more power and control over them. So it's totally against our Christian way of thinking. Well, when someone's in a crisis, we'll do anything to help them because we care about them. We love our neighbor, and they're the opposite. How can we use this against these people to get more power over them? So we have to be very careful with what's going on.
Well, tell us about your films. I've seen both of them, by the way, and they are very, very powerful films. But, you know, one of the things I've sensed, Curtis, is since I've been involved in this for now probably about a year, really, I mean, always opposed to those ideologies, but not really actively engaged on those issues per se, is that a lot of Americans just aren't aware of what is going on around us, are they?
No, I think they naively think everybody's just like they are, and they would never try to use someone in the middle of a crisis. So their mind can't comprehend other people wanting to do those type of things. And not understanding that we really do have enemy philosophies inside this country that are really working to destroy this country. And that's another thing that's hard for us to understand because we love this country. And we're like, no, we're so thankful for it. And so our naiveness leads us to believe everyone is like us, and that's just not the case.
Why is it, and of course you go into this in your film, you trace back the history of this, how is it that people come to a point, because even I have at times struggled with how can somebody who is in America, benefits from all the blessings of America, seem to hate America and want to create some other kind of system, even though they benefited from all the freedom and opportunity that's here?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. But as I've talked to many men that are older and wiser than myself, they all pretty much have the same point of view. They said it is the only thing that can explain it is it's a spiritual blindness. In their rebellion against God, He has blinded them to the obvious thing that they're destroying their own country, the country their own grandkids are going to grow up in. And so it's a curse on them. And then it's, of course, just man's natural sin nature of itself. Some have such an incredible desire and lust for power over others. That's some people's weakness. And so they are always proved to be the ones that are looking for positions, looking for the ladder of things in those positions. And I think that's what's happened to our political system over the last 50, 60, 70 years. So many of the decent men should be going into this.
Curtis, you're going in and out on us a little bit, so we can only hear about a half of what you're saying. So I don't know whether that's your phone or where you are, but I caught most of that.
Sorry, I'm not sure. I've got you're coming in crystal clear. I've got a full reception on my
On your phone, yeah. Well, the wonders of modern technology. Well, look, tell us about the films. Tell us about Agenda and Agenda 2.
Agenda, Grinding America Down, is a film that shows the history of how we've gotten to where we are today. It carefully unfolds over the last 100 years, the different people and groups that have purposely set out to destroy us from within. And it's so important for people to see, because once you understand the enemy and you understand the changes that have taken place in America are purposeful, then you realize, oh my goodness, I need to be standing up for what's right and being the salt and the light. Because if I'm not, these people are happy to take over the system and change it from within. And then the second film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, it goes into how they're using current issues like climate change or the social justice movement in the evangelical church or what's going on with Islam and different things. It goes through those issues and shows how they're using those to continue to finish America off. And so they're giving a PhD of education on what's happened to America. And they're just 90 minutes each, and we're having thousands of people all over the country have showings in their homes to invite family and friends over to understand the times and what's happening so they'll be more engaged in what's going on.
I'll tell you, Curtis, like I said, I've seen both films. They're powerful films. They are informative. And I'll tell you, they'll make you sit up and go, oh, God, I did not realize this. And you're right, because while we have been raising our families, getting our children educated, going to work, taking care of our personal business, they have been behind the scenes working to fundamentally transform, really to subvert the nature of our country. And that's why every American has got to be aware. How can people who have not seen these films, how can they get them?
If they go to agendadocumentary.com, agendadocumentary.com, you can watch the trailers to the films there and order copies if you'd like. We have some other books that go along with them and things as well. Once you see them, you'll think of 10 other people you know, well, they need to see this too. And God has used kind of the grassroots to really spread this all over the country. And we're grateful for what he's done with the films.
Well, Curtis, that's exactly what I did. As soon as I saw the films, I immediately had a list of people who I wanted to make sure saw them. And I bought the films and bought some copies and sent them to people, had them sent really to people who I thought, man, they really need to see this. And because, I mean, I think I got mine. I think I got mine when I ran into you. The ones that I watched, I got them when I ran into you at a meeting, but then I bought some more because you can buy them on Amazon too, correct?
That's right. And on our website, the more copies you get, the cheaper it gets. So it's a good place to get quantities. But yes, you can buy single copies on Amazon as well.
But go to your website and you can have them sent to whomever you will. Once you've seen one and you want to send it to somebody else, you can have it sent to whomever you want to send it to through your website, which is agendadocumentary.com, right?
That's correct.
Well, I'll tell you something, Curtis. Thank you for the work that you're doing. In a time like this, it reminds me of how important it is that we keep waking Americans up, because I'm very alert to the excessive use of power that transcends the Constitution, the authority that the Constitution gives our government, in part because I now understand through your films what's been going on all along, that this, like you said, when we started this, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. So, Curtis, thank you so much for the work that you're doing, man. Keep it up, and let's get you back again, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One day in London, a Methodist preacher looked out over the poor people of that city. His heart went out to those people. He wanted to help them, and he dedicated his life to their service. Little did he know what that dedication would mean. In a few years, his efforts to aid the poor had gained a few followers and many opponents. Quite often he found his followers beaten and their property wrecked or destroyed because of their convictions. In 1884, 37 years after he began preaching, 600 of his followers were sent to prison because of their religious concern for the poor. Following several years of persecution, the founder and the movement began to win some acceptance. Much of this acceptance was brought about when he presented his case in a book entitled In Darkest England and the Way Out. In that book, he had concrete proposals for several improvements: relieving poverty and fighting vice, homes for the homeless, training centers to prepare immigrants for overseas countries, rescue homes for women and girls being sold into bondage for immoral purposes, homes for released prisoners, legal aid for the poor, and practical help for the alcoholic. The movement became known as the Salvation Army, and the preacher who fell in love with the poor people of London was named William Booth. Someone asked him one day what the secret of his very productive life was. His answer was simple and quite profound. "I'll tell you the secret," he said. "I have made up my mind that Jesus Christ could have all there was of William Booth. I know that he has men with more brains and more ability. But when I saw the poor of London, and knowing what Jesus Christ could do for them, I made up my mind to give all there is of me to him." Of this man, the historian wrote that his theology was simple, certainly concentrated on essential matters, clearly expounded for the understanding and inspiration of the common man. Read the history books, and one thing stands out above everything else. It isn't the person with the most ability who does the most good in life. It is rather the person with the most dedication and determination. And herein is the beauty of the Christian faith. For the carpenter doesn't judge us by how much ability we have, but by the depth of our dedication. It isn't the wisest person, or the richest person, or the strongest person that the Galilean is looking for. No. It is the dedicated and faithful person. Our Maker doesn't judge us by how high we rise in life, but by how hard we try. We aren't judged by the amount of our abilities, but by the way we use what abilities we have. William Booth made up his mind to give all he had, and that's all our Maker wants. I guess what this story really says to us is that when we present ourselves to him for service, we should leave our credentials and recommendations at home. We need to bring only our faithfulness.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, I want to hear from you all. The number is 888-589-8840. And, you know, if you listen to the mainstream media and you listen to the reports that come out, you know, just before the president extended the guidelines to April 30th, Fauci said that, you know, 2.2 million Americans could die from this. And yet that's not the pattern that's been followed in any other country. And we are the wealthiest country with the greatest healthcare system in the world. And yet that's now the number that's being thrown out there. That's not the level of exponential growth of this thing that we're seeing either that would get us there. But that's what we're being told. And they may believe that. And I think the president really has no choice but to listen to the experts. I think he desperately wants to see the economy come back and see people get back to work. But he also doesn't want to be the president who the mainstream media starts accusing of killing Americans. And that's exactly what they would say about him, because they hate the man. On the other hand, I think these mayors and state officials have got to be called to account for seeking to implement policies that will help bend the curve downward, help stop the spread of this thing, but at the same time respect the Constitution of the United States. And folks, I just think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think that we can address this virus and at the same time respect the fact that we are a free nation. And one of the things that does trouble me is I don't even hear that question being raised. I mean, the governor of Virginia issues a 10-week lockdown order. I mean, in other words, it's not as if he said, well, we don't know how this thing is going to proceed. We do need to do something dramatic. We're going to take this from week to week. We're going to reevaluate this every couple of weeks and look at what we think needs to be done. Oh, no. June 10th. And has the unmitigated gall to say, stay in your homes until June 10th. But he did say, but if you have to go out to get some fresh air, that's okay. Folks, I don't know. This is unprecedented in our country. So I have the governor's permission to go out and get fresh air. Wow. Lucky me. I mean, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And the spirit of fear and panic that has come upon our country, my concern is, will cause our citizens to accept whatever their state and local governments say. I mean, well, not that we should accept anything the federal government says, but just my personal opinion, folks, just my personal view, I have confidence in the President of the United States that he wants to do what is best for the American people, that he's well aware of the other considerations. I don't have that confidence with some of these state and local leaders. I just don't. I think they're far leftists, and I think they see this. Well, look, Jim Clyburn said that. He said, we have an opportunity to implement restrictions consistent with our vision. Now, you know, anytime a pandemic gives you an opportunity to do things consistent with your vision, my question would be, what kind of vision do you have? What kind of horrific vision is that, that a pandemic becomes your opportunity to gain advantage? So, folks, you know, the Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above everything. Who can know it? And I think our founding fathers understood that, and that is precisely why they designed a system that limited the power of government. And I don't think we should ever abdicate that principle just because we're in an emergency situation or just because we're facing a national challenge. I think we've got to still do both. And so I don't know what's going to come of this lockdown, what's going to come of I'd like to get Pastor Rodney Brown on and have him give his side of the story. I mean, he's been arrested, and I know the governor of Maryland said they're going to give people $1,000 fines and up to a year in prison, $5,000 fine up to a year in prison if they're found to be violating the governor's quote-unquote orders. And I hear again, since when does a governor get to give orders that put people in jail? That's done by legislation. And I haven't heard anybody citing any legislation, any constitutional principle, any, for that matter, any state constitutional principle. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to know how you all think about this when you hear these horrific stories. The governor of California telling people you can't fix your car in your driveway or your yard now. Well, now you're stuck at home, and you got something that you want to do to your car because, after all, I'm not working, right? So I'm going to do that. No, you can't do that. You have to take your car to a garage. Why? We don't want people gathering around fixing cars. Well, you know, we look. Hindsight is 20/20. And it's going to be interesting to look back on this and see if the questions that I'm raising continue to seem relevant to people who are concerned about liberty and concerned about the Constitution, or whether people say, hey, you know, this E.W. Jackson, he had it all wrong. We shall see. But I believe that no matter how bad things may get, and I don't want them to get bad, by the way, I'm believing God that this thing is going to be cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to rise and trouble us again. But no matter how bad things get, the Constitution of the United States is never irrelevant. Okay, let's go to your calls. Let's talk to Jamie in North Carolina. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you so very much for welcoming me, Bishop. But here's sort of the thoughts that I have as I listen along. One of the most famous cases throughout history is, Marie something another about the citizenry was so upset about the debacle they were in that she said, let them eat cake and stuff. I don't know if, you don't want a rebellion or anarchy, but the thing is, there's so many wonderful, wonderful people out there that would love to join proverbial hands, spiritually. But one, two, three, even 10 can't do it together because
right.
They have families. They want to, but they want to know if everyone can do it together. And if they get thrown into jail, their family falls apart. And
right.
you just can't, because you got so many working class people. And I just would like to ask you about that. How would you go about doing that? Because these governors and stuff, they're way out of bounds,
Yeah. So, but Jamie, thanks for the call, Jamie. You raise a very, very important point. And to tell you the truth, Jamie, I think that's what causes these people to become lawless and to transgress and trample the Constitution, because they figure, who's going to stop me? Who's going to stop me? The people are busy trying to live their own lives. What I think always is necessary in these situations is a tipping point. And it doesn't take everybody, but a tipping point in which people just say, you know what, that is a bridge too far. And that's what happened with our founding fathers. It took a while. Britain had to push and push and push and push before finally a consensus developed among many of those who were in leadership roles that they've pushed too far. They've simply gone too far. And then the Declaration of Independence came. But it took, your history. Those of you listening to this program, your history. It took years for that to happen. So I don't know, Jamie, what the answer to that is. I just know that the American people need to be on the alert, need to be watchful. I'll tell you all something, and then I'll come right back to the calls. When I first got saved, I'll tell you this on the other side of the break. I'll tell you an interesting story about what God laid on my heart just almost immediately after I got saved. Back in a moment.
It's valuing them more than yourself. And so when my kids are not doing that, I literally have to plan ahead outside of conflict and think to yourself, okay, I'm going to remain calm. And then I'm going to speak the truth in love to my child.
Amber Leah on Focus on the Family Minute, explaining how to diffuse a situation with your child rather than getting angry.
So it's not that I'm just going to let them back talk to me. I'm not going to yell and scream at them and join them in the fight. I'm going to say to them, Oliver, the way that you're talking to me right now simply is disrespectful, and I don't deserve that. And it's not something that I know is really who you want to be as someone who's learning about Jesus yourself and wanting to be like him. So let's take a break and we'll come back together again in a few minutes. And then you can talk to me in a normal voice and we can figure out what the real problem
sure.
is.
Don't join your child in the fight. More at familyminute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
Hey, Siri.
Go ahead.
Show me some Christian music streaming apps.
Okay. Here's what I found under Christian music streaming apps.
The AFR app? Isn't that talk shows only?
It was, until recently. Now the new music streaming option plays music 24/7.
Oh, wow.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Download the AFR app today at afr.net.
Hi, this is Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. Years ago, I wrote a book on why God allows disease, death, and suffering. It's still one of our most asked questions. To answer, two things to point out. First, we live in a cursed, fallen world. It's not the world God originally created. Second, I think of the account of Job and all the bad things that happened to him. After Job gave a defense to his friends, God spoke to him. Job was reminded of who God is, the Creator, who's in charge of all things. Job's response needs to be ours today. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. The answer to why bad things happen is this: God knows all things, but our fallible fallen brain can't. His purposes are beyond our understanding. So right now, let's read God's word, repent before him, and worship him. You'll find more relevant Bible teachings at answersingenesis.org.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. When I first got saved, one of the things that God laid on my heart, because I was already a patriot, because I'd served in the Marine Corps and I understood the need for a people being willing to fight for liberty and fight for the freedom that this nation represents. But God gave me a brand new revelation, and this is what he laid on my heart. I have given this country to you as a gift. Folks, that's just the way I heard it. I have given this country to you as a gift. Now, I didn't take that as given to me personally and only, but that God was saying he had given this nation to its citizens. He had given this nation to Christians in particular, to us as a gift. And he said, I expect you to be a steward of it. Now, you all understand what I mean when I say he said it. He didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but I mean, this was the conviction that came into my heart shortly after I got saved, and it allowed me to see America in a whole new way, in a whole new light, as a gift from God. And that stewardship doesn't end and doesn't get suspended because we're facing a dangerous and difficult situation. And what it's going to take for all of us to rise up in peacefully but firmly and say, no, the government will continue to serve us. We don't serve it. And it doesn't give us orders. We give it orders. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Elizabeth in Ohio. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to say that if we were running a death toll of the abortion, same way we're running it for the coronavirus, I believe that maybe, just maybe, some people might wake up and see this could be a worldwide judgment, and God is trying to catch our attention. I'm not totally sure, but I think it could happen.
Well, Elizabeth, you're right. What the media amplifies, people tend to pay attention to, and when they've got a great big chart on television telling you on an hourly basis how many more people died, it does get your attention. And you're right. If we were paying attention to how many babies are being killed by abortion, still going on, by the way, still going on in the midst of all this of shutting everything down, including churches. But if that were to happen, maybe a lot more people would realize the evil that we've allowed to grow up in our midst. And, you know, the Bible does say you reap what you sow. I always say God doesn't have to point his finger at you and say, I curse you, because he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And wow, think of what we've sown as a nation. The tens of millions of babies that have been slaughtered for the convenience of this modern society. And it does not portend well. But I believe part of the reason why God withholds his judgment is that people like you, Elizabeth, and I and so many others are standing up constantly against it and trying to awaken the conscience of our nation. And I believe as long as we're doing that, it causes God to withhold the hand of judgment. Thank you for the call, Elizabeth. Let's go to Tammy in Louisiana. Tammy, welcome. Tammy, you've got to turn your radio down. I can hear my echo. There you go. Tammy, you there? Oh,
yes,
Tammy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. You're on, Tammy. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for taking my call. I wasn't
okay.
Sure. Okay, hi. I just want to thank you for your service. And I just want to interject that I believe we're in a place in this nation that the body of Christ, the church, was just sort of in the closet, per se, for a season, and not 3 months, not 1 year, maybe, I don't know, the last 30 years, per se. Mm. And I believe God, by his Holy Spirit, through his word, which gives life, has projected us to a place where sin abounds, but the grace of God is greater than any sin.
Amen.
And I believe, you know, homosexuality has come out of the closet. It's on paper. It's reinforced as law in a land that belongs to Elohim, the creator. He's not happy with it. But like you said earlier to this caller, the revelation God gave you, he gave you this land. He gave it to you. And he tells you to subdue it like he told Adam.
Amen.
And you're not going to be perfect in your subduing. You're going to make errors. The fence over it oversteps a boundary, and maybe the neighbor's going to come say, hey, man, your fence is 3 feet on my property. Well, you'll back it up. That's no problem. But I believe
right.
We're going to see a power in the body of Christ, an awakening. I think it's a revival time, at least for me it is in my heart. God is looking at the heart of our president. And I know the man is not perfect. I back him up 100%. He is like David in the fight. You
Amen.
Can throw anything you want, baby. He got 5 stones and come at me, Pelosi. Bam, he knocks her down. Come at
All
me,
right.
Schumer.
All right, Tammy. Tammy, thank you so much. God bless you. And yes, that's, look, folks, again, God has not given us a spirit of fear, excuse me, but of love and power. And a sound mind. And so, amen. I believe that too. I've said it before. I really believe that God has brought President Donald J. Trump to be the leader of this nation for such a time as this. Let's go to Eric in Virginia. Eric, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, Eric. Glad to have you on.
Well, thank you so much. I just wanted to briefly state that this entire COVID-19 hysteria is very reminiscent of a newspaper article a few decades ago in which it was determined that a substance named dihydrogen monoxide was in the pipe system, which caused corrosion and inhalation deaths. And it turns out this prank was really just another name of water, 2 hydrogens, 1 oxide. So dihydrogen monoxide was listed as having a new name with these side effects, which at a context seemed very scary. And when I go to the CDC website and I look up COVID-19 and I look at the symptoms between children and adults, the CDC website says that the symptoms in adults and children are essentially the same, and those symptoms are mild cold-like symptoms such as runny nose, a cough, and a mild fever. So instead of using the terminology as in this is a new strain of a virus, which has been around for a very long time, coronavirus is, I think, on average, 20% of the common cold is coronaviruses. I think rhinoviruses are about the
right.
other 80%.
Yes, I've heard that. Yes.
Novel, by using the phrase novel, that in itself is just a knee-jerk reaction to make people think this is something so new and so different that they're unable to see the similarities that the CDC website states very clearly. Most people are going to have such mild symptoms, they're not even counted because they don't even know they have it. So this is dihydrogen monoxide all over again. That's really what it is. It's just an excuse to manipulate the stock markets and crack down on any particular policy, test martial law, et cetera, and all the things they want. It's just an excuse for all the different government levels to get all types of money, declare an emergency. It's dihydrogen monoxide. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Eric. And I don't know whether you were intending to say it, but 24,000 people documented, 24,000 people have died from the flu this year. Why don't we shut down the country every single year? Because 24,000 people, and then, by the way, they're expecting that to double. They think that this year there could be 68,000 people who die of the regular, I'm sorry, not 68, 48,000 people who die of the regular flu this year. So, something more is going on than just the disease. But Eric, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Ed in Iowa. Ed, welcome.
Welcome, and thank you for your show. I really appreciate it. And I said a little prayer, and I can't believe I got on here, so God does answer prayers.
Amen.
I'm just thinking our nation needs to humble themselves and get down on their knees, and God promises he will heal our land. And God cannot tell a lie, so there you have. That's all I really have to say.
There you
I
go.
Know. I know this nation is going through a lot of problems, and it's getting so politicized, it's just unbelievable. And I don't know what else to say.
Well, Ed, you've said it all when you said God cannot lie, and he has promised that if we will humble ourselves before him, he will heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so that's what we're believing for. And we're going to keep believing for that and praying for that. America has a lot of sins to answer for. But we love this country and we're praying for it and praying that God will show it mercy and that ultimately there will be an awakening, folks, an awakening. It is my prayer that God would use this. I don't believe God sent this virus, to be very honest. I believe that this virus is part of the wounded nature of this world. The Bible says the whole world groans in travail, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God. In other words, the world is sick, and it's waiting for a new birth, if you will. But in the meantime, sin produces its own rewards, folks. It produces its own rewards, and this world is polluted by it. And I'm not saying, this person did that, and therefore that happened, or we did this as a nation, therefore this happened. I mean, the universe is polluted by the sins of human beings and rebellion against God. And it has consequences, frankly, that affect us all. And this is just part of that fallen nature of the universe, fallen nature of the world. But I know one thing. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared his own son but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And I know this too, folks. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.